appreciate this nice keyboard player we have over here helping us out this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, good morning, and thanks for being here today. It's a little bit of a unique day for us in Point Lookout Community Church. If you're a guest here or it's your first time being with us, it might help you to have a little bit of background. So I want to give you some background before we dive into some of the things that I believe God has for us today. Pastor Greg Kemper served this congregation for 21 years as senior pastor from 1996 to 2017. And in December of 2017, he endured a major stroke and has not been able to return to ministry as of yet. And in the 15 months that followed, I stepped in as interim pastor until this past February, when at our annual meeting, I was confirmed as senior pastor. Pastor Greg and I share more than just 16 years of ministry together in this church. We share families together. We share grandchildren together. And our families will forever be connected and intertwined in one way, shape, or form for as long as there's an earth here and God has grace. He saw fit to bring us together. Something you should know, whether guests or members of the PLCC, is that both Pastor Greg and I are basically from the old school in many ways. We came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ over four decades ago, and so the people, the spiritual mentors that we had, were born in the 1930s and 1940s that came out of like the Pentecostal tradition. Like, this is where we came from. This is where we came up. It's how we came to faith in Christ. And God, in his grace, according to the counsel of his will, saw fit to bring a skinny rock drummer from Michigan and a redneck guitar player from Mississippi by way of Virginia to Point Lookout, New York. And so God, in his grace, brought us together, and in his grace brought this congregation together and joined you together with the skinny rock drummer and the redneck guitar player. God in his grace brought us to this day. God in his grace. It's a story only he can tell. I couldn't dream it up. If you asked me 25 years ago, I couldn't imagine story. There are ups and there are downs. There are challenges to this. This is the story of life, isn't it? We said in recent weeks, there's no glory without a story. And a story is being walked out here with all of us together as a community, as a family of faith. And it takes every part. And this day is about this congregation, and it's about God's glory. We get to take part in the story, and we have a role to play in different parts of it. And sometimes we don't understand, and sometimes it's great, and there are great days and powerful days. I saw the sun shining so bright this morning. It was amazing. It blew my mind. I pulled over, had to stop the car. I had to see, look at this, look at this. We just sang about it, right? Indescribable, incomparable. Like, who's imagined the sun and given source to its light? Who are we? Who are we that you're mindful of us? And so, Father, we bow our knee to you today. We bow our hearts to you today. Thank you for the leading of your Spirit and the presence of your Spirit and the promise of your faithfulness to be with us, to lead and to guide us in the way we should go. In the tradition that Pastor Greg and I came to faith, whenever there was a transition, if there was an installation of a new pastor or something along these lines that would take place, the elders would come forward, or pastors, or fathers in the faith, or a presbytery that was governing over a particular congregation would come together, and they would have a laying on of hands, they would say. Some people in our congregation are familiar with this. In fact, some people came forward and said, hey, are we going to do this? Are we going to have a laying on of hands? Is this, or do we just have a vote at a, you know, we do it differently here at the community church. There's like a vote and an annual meeting, that sort of thing. But in the tradition that we come from, and that some of you in this congregation come from, we do this thing where the elders come forward and lay hands and pray for God's grace on the new pastor. You know, the other parts of it, we've done what we needed to do in the time of crisis and necessity. You do what you have to do, and then you figure out the rest of it later, right? And so you wonder, is this just a new normal? Do some of these things we just forego and we just have a unique congregation? We don't have a presbytery. We don't belong to an overarching denomination. Do we just forego some of these things, or do we just try to do the best we can with what we have? And that's really what we're trying to do, the best we can with what we have, to look at the scripture, say, what does it say? What's the precedent here? How do we walk that out in this sort of broken world and broken people that we are? But this morning, the people that we are, the congregation we have, the elders and the council that we have, we're going to do the best we can. And listen, this is a little bit awkward. This could be awkward. Or it could be beautiful. I vote for beautiful. I want to see God do something here. And as we're going to talk about it, I thought, since we come from these varied backgrounds, maybe we take a few minutes before Pastor Greg and Elder Kevin Hennigan come up here to pray. Maybe we just take a few minutes to look at the scriptural basis for the laying on of hands. What is this thing? And for anybody maybe who's not familiar with it, kind of understand, here's what it's about. You know, and since these are unprecedented times, and I've never been here, we've never been in this situation before, I actually called upon a pastor of mine who 40 years ago was the pastor of the congregation where I grew up, in that church in Virginia. Pastor Greg, you would love this man, Richard Dreyer. He served as a missionary in Turkey, in Iran, in Afghanistan. It just pricks my heart to have a conversation. One of those people, person of faith, who, like, you're just so inspired and so challenged when you talk to them, and you walk away from a conversation with them being better for it and being encouraged by it. And so we had a conversation. I had a conversation with this missionary, this guy who ended up being the first real pastor that I knew by name and that I actually had an experience with, who knew the Lord and pointed me in the right direction. And so I called him, had just by God's grace was able to talk to him this week. He's going to be 83 in August. So like I said, the people we learned from, they were born way back when, man. And so this is how they did this thing. But in that church where I grew up, interestingly, my family had relocated from Mississippi to Virginia to be a part of this congregation because of the ministry that this founding pastor had and the relationship that he had with my parents. So my parents say, okay, we're packing up, moving to Virginia. And so we packed up and we moved to Virginia. And inside of 2 years, the founding pastor of this congregation died. He drowned on a missions trip in Mexico. And so here I am, just a kid, moved to Virginia. We're all excited. This pastor's profoundly affected my parents' lives. They have kind of said, man, we feel God calling us to be a part of this community, this congregation up here. This pastor started the church in the 50s in his home, just a house church, didn't know what to do, came to faith in the Lord and said, okay, let's gather to pray. Let's get people together. Let's tell other people about this. And began this community there in Virginia. And so at that time in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot of ex-hippies coming to the Lord, Jesus people as they were referred to, who were coming to faith in the Lord. And so he pastored this congregation from a small house church to like 800, 900 people at the time we came to it in the 70s. And inside of 2 years of my parents relocating and coming up here, up to Virginia, he dies. And like, man, they were devastated. They were devastated. And it can be devastating to go through crisis and to go through these kind of trials, depending on where our faith is and depending on where our hope lies. And let me tell you, talk about crisis, talk about challenge. They were challenged with that news, to get that phone call in the middle of the night. I remember them waking us up and telling me and my brothers and sisters, we couldn't believe it. God in his grace had brought this man, Richard Dreyer, from Iran, just as the Shah of Iran was being deposed and the Khomeini, very conservative, very overriding, extremist sort of government was taking over in Iran. But God just called him out miraculously a few months before that and had him in place to step up and to stand there and to be there. And by God's grace, he was my pastor 40 years ago. And I started thinking over the 11 years in that congregation, forgive me, guys, would you forgive me? I'm just kind of like talking here. In those 11 years that I was a part of that congregation, there were four different pastors. I thought about this each time, and I saw this pattern that happened, and they would lay hands, and they would bring the elders up, and they would lay hands on the next pastor, and they would pray for him and pray for God's grace and sort of pass the mantle in this way. But then I looked, and statistically, you know, the average span of a full-time pastor is like 3 to 6 years. Like, Pastor Greg's three times better than average, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's really good. He's really good. By God's grace, he's outpaced like this average that they have. And so, and I looked and I'm like, yeah, four pastors in like 12 years. Yeah, like three years. Yeah, it's exactly what I saw. But I saw that pattern played out over time. But I want to look at the scriptural basis for it. Going to Numbers 27, I'm going to look at a scripture in the Old, a couple of scriptures in the New Testament, very quickly before Kevin and Pastor Greg come up to pray. And the first is Numbers 27. It says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him.' Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him just as the Lord had spoken. So God commanded Moses to do these three things: lay your hand on him, commission him, put some of your authority on him." Do you see this sequence? First of all, this command to lay your hands on him, it's an act of intimacy to reach out and to touch someone. In this day and age, you don't just go up to somebody and put your hand on them, do you? Right? That's like things like assault and battery. You just don't lay a finger on somebody unless you have some kind of intimacy, enough of a relationship with them to reach out and to touch them. And he says, go lay your hand on him. And you notice the length of time and the way in which you embrace someone or lay your hands on someone is directly correlative to how intimate your relationship is with them. You might have a friend. I have a sister here who's like a mother in the faith, and I'll put my hand on her back, and I appreciate her, and she knows. I'll take my son or my grandkid, and I'll just hold them for like, you know, till they're uncomfortable with it. Papa, let me go, please. Give me a break. Or until they get it and they hold me back. I like that one even better. But it's an act of intimacy. That Hebrew word for lay is samach. It means to lean upon, to support, to refresh, to revive. Depending on the context, it's also rendered to uphold or to sustain. Lay your hands, support, refresh, sustain what's going on here. The Hebrew word for hand, yad, means strength or power. It's translated hand, but it's also translated allegiance or strength or authority. God is saying to Moses, uphold, support, and sustain this next leader with your allegiance, with your strength, with your authority, because he's going to need it. The day may come when he may question or flounder in his calling, and he's going to need that support and that strength, that support who's leaning into him, saying, no, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this. And I think back, Pastor Greg, those times over the years, you were prodding me, and you were trying to support me, and I wasn't getting the message, But here we are. In fact, God literally says, put your authority on him in order that all the congregation will shema, will hear, will listen to him, will respond to him. No small thing. Way more than a symbolic act. I think of this like communion. At this community church, we don't believe that the bread and the juice actually become the actual tangible body and blood of Christ. That's just how we believe. But we believe it's more than bread and juice, don't we? Amen. There's a spiritual component there that has weight and has authority and has the presence of God. Somehow we're communing with the Lord in that moment. It's not just more than bread and wine. And in the same way, this is more than just putting a physical hand on somebody. This is a spiritual exchange. This is by God's grace. Now, Kevin and Pastor Greg don't wield the grace of God to dole it out as they please, but God, through these men, through these elders, God wields the grace to empower someone to do what he's called them to do, and that's what it's about. So it's not magic, okay? And it's not nothing, just physical. No, it's practical and it's spiritual. There's a spiritual exchange and occurrence that's happening today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ralph, you know something about this tradition, right? Absolutely, absolutely. And so God commands Moses, commission him, commission Joshua in the sight of the congregation. This means to appoint him, to give charge to him. It's also rendered or translated to ordain or to set in. That's why we have this phrase, someone's being set in. That's where it comes from, this word appoint. More than a symbolic gesture, a spiritual undertaking, a spiritual significance. We're trusting God to impart his grace. It's something that only he can do. And so we appeal to him, Lord, would you have grace on us this morning? And I love the result. What happens after Moses lays his hands on Joshua following the commissioning? The people went in and occupied the land. There was success for everyone. Are you hearing me this morning? This is about everyone this morning. That's what this is about. It's about God's divine order, God's blessing, God's grace, and all of us succeeding in what God's called us to do. Anybody with me this morning? That's what it should be about. In the book of Acts, we see the early church continue this approach. Acts 6 says this in verse 2, the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen and 6 others, and these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them, and what was the result of this commissioning? The word of God kept on spreading, the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. This laying on of hands thing isn't so bad, is it? There's some beautiful success that follows as we follow this biblical precedent. The elders, in this case apostles, lay their hands on these 7 men, and it results in the word being spread, the widows being cared for, and the number of disciples continuing to increase. It brings about God's order, God's victory, God's glorified, and the body's edified. Amen? And in Acts 13, one more scripture before these guys come up. Acts 13, 2 says, while they were ministering to the Lord, I love that. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And I hope we're beginning to see, particularly in the New Testament context, that this laying on of hands is preceded by and accompanied by prayer. That's why we sent out a communication this week to say, listen, would you be praying as we walk into this, as we go into this? This isn't just some process in the natural that we do to perform some tradition. No, this is a spiritual exchange that we're praying by God's grace has spiritual implications. It's not arbitrary, it's spiritual. We're seeking God for this next season that's coming to Point Lookout Community Church. I said it in recent weeks, and I'll say it again. You don't have any idea what's happening in the next 12 minutes, let alone the next 12 months. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open to what you want to do and how you want to move. We can plan all we want, but God, life circumstance, and situations happen and throw us curveballs. And if we're not standing as the people of prayer people of consecration and commissioning that we're called to be, then we'll be blown over by the winds of change and by the challenges that begin to blow on us. Sometimes I look around and I say, God, this would take a miracle. Take a miracle. I look around and I say, God, I don't know if it's possible. It's not possible with man. This is impossible. You ever do that? You ever say to God, I would take a miracle? Or maybe you shout it, God, it would take a miracle. But I heard somewhere that you're the God of miracles. I heard somewhere that you can make streams in the desert. That you can make a roadway in the wilderness. I heard somewhere, Father, that you can make blind eyes to see. And you could loosen tongues that are bound. If you spoke the sun and the stars into existence, surely our problems, our challenges aren't too great for you. Surely you're the God of miracles. Do you help us to rise in faith, Lord, in kind to you and to your greatness? So sometimes I say it would take a miracle, but when I saw the sunrise this morning on the Meadowbrook Parkway, I said, man, that's a miracle. I said, that's a miracle. How can you speak that into existence? And if you can hang that ball of fire up in the sky, and if you can arrest me in my steps and make me pull a car over just to notice, surely you can do something with us. Surely, Father, you can, in the power of your Spirit, grant us grace, Lord, divine enablement to do what you called us to do. Lord, I pray there would be something different from this day forward in our lives and in this community, Father. We pray for you, Father, to do what we can't do. Lord, we can set up the wood and we can put the sacrifice on the altar, but as Pastor Craig said so many times, only you can bring the fire from heaven to make it burn. We can roll away the stone, but only you can make the dead man come to life. So we're praying, Father. We're praying for your grace. And we're praying for your glory, seeking your glory, Lord. Would you be glorified in us? I know we'll be edified and strengthened as you're glorified. Father, I pray that everything that's done here today and everything that's done in this church going forward, Father, would be for your glory, that we would grow and be the people you've called us to be and build the community you've called us to build for your glory. In Jesus' name. Just going to ask Pastor Greg and Kevin to come up and have Kevin close out the service. However you see fit, Kevin.
Process the procedures of the official, the regulatory transfer authority, but this today we celebrate the spiritual transfer of authority from senior pastor as he transfers his authority to the new senior pastor. Greg had mentioned, Joel had mentioned that, you know, Pastor Greg heard God's call 23 years ago to come to the PLCC. And shockingly, 18 years ago, Joel heard the call from Pastor Greg to come and serve as associate pastor and as worship leader. You know, God had a plan. Neither one of these men knew what that plan was, yet they faithfully followed the call of God. Today we're adhering to God's word as described by Joel earlier, where Greg will lay hands on Joel, spiritually signaling this spiritual transfer of authority. You know, we have a role here. All of us have a role. We're witnesses to this spiritual transfer. This spiritual transfer is to be shepherd of a flock, and we are that flock. And so the significance of this and the power of this is overwhelming and yet so deeply personal for each and every one of us. Greg will come up and he will bless, he'll pray, and he'll lay hands, he'll ordain Joel in this capacity. Given Greg's condition, when this is done, the anointing is done, the hands-on are done, I'll pray. But remember, I'm praying in place of Greg's prayer, just given current circumstances. The sobriety of this is really deep, but so is the excitement. I mean, what Joel had shared with us about the excitement, the power, the significance. I think we simply have to come as believers and believe in the power of this laying on of hands. Believe in the power that God has a plan. We're not always given insight into that plan, but it's an unbelievable privilege to serve a God that has never lost control, has never lost sight of these two men and us, and has designed a plan this far in advance that we can look back to almost 25 years and realize that this plan has unfolded for us, that he would care so much for us that he would provide it this way. It's kind of staggering. But maybe if Greg, if you don't mind, and Joel, come forward. And Jim,